my life. Pastor Gene Googe in Hickory, North Carolina.
All right, thank you, preacher. It's a real blessing to be here.
You got it on there, brother? Well, it's been good, hasn't it? I know nobody's said much about it, but I thank the Lord for all the ladies that have cooked.
Amen.
I was telling my daughter, thank you, brother. I was telling my daughter, I think it's my daughter. I guarantee you, that lady right there will be one. It's one of them happy, sad things. You know, you can't wait to get started, can't wait till it's over.
Yeah.
And you and I, we just get to come sit and just enjoy all the blessing while somebody else does all the work. And I appreciate all the food. And I'll be honest with you, I want this camp meeting to succeed.
Yeah.
I want it to succeed.
Amen.
I'd like to see it not just this year, but I'd like to see it years to come.
Yeah.
It'd be a blessing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you can be turning to the book of Joel if you want to. It might take some of you a few minutes to find it, the book of Joel. But I was thinking that, if you was to go to McDonald's and you was to eat out every day, you'd probably be spending 10 bucks a meal.
Yes.
So you're getting a deal, three meals a day. You're getting a blessing. And so I appreciate Brother Shawn, and I appreciate his family and everything. And I want to say something. I want to say something tonight to be a blessing to you and to be a help and a challenge. Be honest with you, I'd like to be able to say something just to get you all stirred up and riled back. I was driving through the parking lot area out there and I saw car tags from Florida, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia. I mean, a lot of the country represented here. And I'd like to say something to fire you up to where you go back to your place and just want to rip a devil's arm right off and beat the devil out of him with it. That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? And I'm maybe just a little bit different, but I'd like to say something. I was preaching one time at our church and I was in one of them rare modes and I noticed this little girl sitting, right in the middle section of the church. And I mean, man, she was into it, son. I mean, she was into it. Her eyes about that big around, like saucers. And her mouth dropped open, and she's sitting right on the edge of the pew, just soaking in everything that I say. And, I thought, man, this little girl is hooked up, man. I mean, she is hooked up, man. She's really getting something out of this message. And after I got through preaching, after the service was over, she walked up to me And I thought, this little girl's going to tell me what a blessing I've been and going to tell me I'm the greatest preacher she ever got to listen to and how much she really enjoyed it. And she walked up to me and she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, you scared me to death. Thought you was going to explode." And I thought that's what all preachers did.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And if I can scare you a little bit and make you want to go home explode, I tell you what, that'll be a blessing. I want to preach just for a little while. And I've got about 10 points in chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Joel. But I'm just going to give you an introduction right quick, and I'll get out of the way. But in Joel chapter number 2, we're going to be looking at the subject of the remnant. The remnant. And I'm glad I'm a part of God's remnant. Amen.
Yeah.
Look in your Bible in Joel chapter number 2. We'll start reading in verse number 28. You want to stand and you want to stretch. This morning I was thinking, Brother Sean, you ain't much of a coffee drinker, are you? You drink a pot of coffee, son, like I do every morning, you'll give us a bathroom break, son. I thought, God, if he asked me to preach now, I better go get me a Depends on or something. I'm going to be in bad shape. But in Joel chapter number 2, look in verse number 28. The Bible said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." Now that, this is a partial prophecy, and part of it has already been fulfilled. You preachers know that, Acts chapter number 2, day of Pentecost and everything. Verse 29, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Now, it wasn't right for a Jewish wanting to be a servant. They were not slaves. So the servants here, and the slaves and the handmaids, that would be where you and I are at right now. Just them old Jewish Gentile dogs. Don't get all blowed out. I mean, that's all you are. You know that, don't you? But notice what he said in verse number 30. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said." Notice this. Let me tell you the thought and the context of the latter part of verse 32. "And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." I want to try to bring to you just a few thoughts on the subject of the remnant. Let's bow our head and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Carl Pepper, why don't you pray and ask God to help us? Amen. Oh Lord, God, I pray for your help, touch, power, and grace. Yes. God grant it, we pray. God, may you move, Lord. May you grant it to be so. Amen. Amen. We're going to be taking our thought and our text verse out of verse number 32, the latter part. And I'm just going to give to you the introduction of a message that I'll be preaching at our church here in the near future. And but on the subject of the remnant, and the message that God's laid upon my heart, He laid it, I guess, probably about 5 or 6 months ago as I was reading through my Bible. I've been saved for 39 years and I've been preaching for 35. And I try to read my Bible through at least one time every year. And sometimes one and a half and sometimes two. I've done that ever since I've been saved. That's why I love this old blessed old book. And I'm kind of partial. I'll just go ahead and just get it on out of the way. Ain't no book like this book, brother. I'm talking about that old AV KJV 1611. Ain't no book like this blessed old book. I love to read that Bible, and I read it through, and as I got to the book of Joel again, and I read through there, and that's why the Bible's so good. It's a living book. It don't ever get old. It's just renewed all the time. And I was reading through the book of Joel, and I read that down there where it said the remnant. And I guess probably for about 5 months now, the Lord just kind of just been dealing with my heart. And every time I think, you know, what am I going to preach, Lord, tonight? What am I going to preach in the morning? And what am I going to preach Wednesday night? And it seemed like the Holy Ghost would just keep bringing me back to that place, the remnant. So I want to try to bring to you just a few thoughts on that subject of the remnant. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm a part of that remnant. I'm talking about that little group of people saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by His infinite love. Thank God I'm born again in the family of God. I'm a child of the living God. Thank God I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad I'm a part of that remnant, the church of the living God. I will say this, the church, I mean, God's people never have been a majority.
Right.
We've always been, and please don't you, brethren, come on, don't jump on me. I'm 60 years old and I may jump back. But I understand and I do realize and I know that God in one is a majority.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
Thank God we are more than conquerors,
yes,
through
sir.
Him that loved us. Hey, folks, folks, I want to tell you, we may lose a battle every once in a while, but thank God the war has already been won. It was won 2,000 years ago on a cross called Calvary for the Lord Jesus Christ, when He suffered and He bled and He died and He rose again from the dead. And thank God, if you're saved by the grace of God, we are on the winning side. But God's people have always been a minority. We've never really been a majority. Amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you something. I was thinking, and please, brethren, don't jump on me. I know we're up here to split hairs. I ain't got enough hairs to split. And I know we're not up here to grind axes. I understand that. I know that. But I remember back years ago, Brother Jerry Farwell. And please, don't miss something. Don't jump on me. Hey, listen. If God blesses and uses a man, you better keep your hands and your mouth off of him.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
But Brother Farwell came up with what they call the moral majority. But there's never really been a moral majority. Morality has never been, I mean, a great commodity in this wicked, evil, ungodly world that we live in. I mean, this world is wicked. It's wicked. Hey, all you kids, you listen. This world is wicked, evil, ungodly, dirty, filthy, vile, and depraved. Ain't nothing one good thing about this stinking world. Hey, I want to tell you something. This world is wicked. You say, good night, preacher. You say you're just so negative-minded. Some of you are so positive-minded. God help, man. Well, I'll just move on.
Come on. Amen.
This world's wicked. I don't know if you have up here in Tennessee or anything like that, but you got that immoral Monday crowd like they do in North Carolina.
Right.
That Occupy Wall Street crowd. You ever got some of them?
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a bunch of ACLU.
Yeah.
Don't dry up on me.
Right.
It's a bunch of stinking communists and a bunch of stinking socialists and a bunch of liberals, atheists, sodomites. And they're anti-God, and I'm talking about our God. I ain't talking about who would ever dream in America that you would have to, in America, have to get up and define what God you're talking about. I want you to be very clear. I want to be very plain. I want you to understand what God I'm talking about. I ain't talking about Allah. I'm not talking about Buddha. I'm not talking about the Queen of Heaven. I'm talking about the God of that Bible right there. I'm talking about the Creator of heaven and earth. I'm talking about Jehovah God. I'm talking about the God that redeemed my soul from destruction, saved my never-dying soul from hell. Hey, He is the true God and the living God, and there is no God like our God. Hey, I want to tell you something. But we got to the generation and the time when this world is anti-God. Anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-Christian. This world is against everything that's holy, good, and righteous. Am I okay, folks? Amen. There ain't one good thing, Brother Larry, about this wicked, evil, ungodly world.
Amen.
This world hates your God, hates our God, Amen. Hates our Bible, yes. Hates our church, Amen. And hates our Christ.
Amen.
I want to tell you what we need in our day and time. And I'm talking about this day of apostasy.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm talking about this day of turning away.
Amen.
I'm talking about when those that would depart from the faith, and I'm talking about saved people.
Yeah.
Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Right.
I'm talking about this day and time of change.
Yeah.
I about got to the place I want to vomit every time I hear it.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm okay, Brother Sean. You tell me to shut up and go back to North Carolina. I will. I prayed. I said, Lord, just let him call somebody. There's so many preachers in here.
Come on.
I mean, really, I've got to the place. Hey, I despise them bumper stickers coexist.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes, sir.
I despise them.
Amen.
But Son, God never told us to coexist, blend in.
Right.
He never told us to be taught. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm talking about we're living in a day and a time, brother, of compromise. We're living in a day and time. I'm talking about some of the best, brother. I mean, are letting the, you say, well, preacher, when are you going to change your Bible? When hell freezes over. I ain't getting no NIV. I ain't getting an RSV or ASV. I'm not getting a new KJV. Amen. I'm going to stick with the old book, brother. Amen. We're living in a day and time of change, compromise, coexistence, tolerance. Take your sign down. When are you going to take your Baptist sign down? When hell freezes over. Somebody said I was an angry man. I had a phone call one time from the TV fan club. And they said, why are you so angry? I said, because I am.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about. We're living in a day and time. We're living in of apostasy, falling away. Hey, I'm not talking about the liberal. I'm talking about the fundamental, independent, Bible believing KJV churches. Amen. I'm not going. I ain't going to coexist.
Amen.
I ain't taking my sign down. I ain't changing my Bible. I ain't changing my music, and I'm not changing my morals, my standards. I'm not changing my worship. Contemporary worship is straight out of the pits of hell. Hey, I want to tell you, I like the preaching we got here, man. Hey, I tell you, I like to hear a man preach like a man fighting bees, son. How many of you ever stepped in a yellow jacket's nest? That's the way you ought to preach.
Come on, preacher.
I mean, God, I like to hear a man preach like a dying man. The dying people's going to face God one
Amen.
Day.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I can't. I about God, and I know everybody don't. I know God picks all different kinds, and they don't have to be one certain kind. I'm not stupid. I understand that.
Right.
I want to tell you this: milk toast, pushy foot, and back scratching ballerina type. If you have your Bibles.
Come on.
I want you to open up your Bibles. I want to share to you the Word of God. That gay maggot, son. I like to hear a man. I mean, like we've heard. I done heard all these different men out here, and I thought, praise God. And some of you think I'm backslid because I don't shout. It ain't that. I'm trying to protect my voice. But I like to hear these men.
Yeah.
I mean, just put the hammer down, put the pedal to the metal, son, and let them rip, brother. Amen. I want to tell you, if there's anything going to save America, it ain't up there in the White House, the courthouse. It's right here in God's house. It's men of God with the touch of God and the power of God and the unction of God. Feel with the touch and the power of God. Give us some men that'll preach in these last days.
Yes, sir.
We're living in a day and time, brother, when everything's changing.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, there ain't nothing to take the place of the old time way.
Right. Yeah.
Ain't nothing ever to... Am I okay, folks?
Amen.
I'm trying to put a smile on my face so you won't think I'm mad.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, there ain't nothing going to take the place of the old time preaching, old time praying, old time singing. Hey, I've made up my mind. I am not conforming.
Amen.
I ain't going to conform.
Yeah.
It'll be snowing in hell. Before I ordain or before I marry a bunch of sodomites and lesbians. All you young people, you're looking up here at me. I don't care what Hollywood says. Homosexuality, men between men, women with women, is wicked. It's a governor don't have to give my sermon notes. Just take me, put me on the witness stand. I'll tell them exactly what I believe. Homosexuality is not normal. It is a sin. I said it's a sin, like drinking, like drugs. It is a sin against God. So we're living a day and time where, brother, we hear the preaching, but the young people out there are thinking, well, that preacher is just old fashioned, outdated, and everything.
There you go. Amen.
I'm not going to, it'll be snorted in hell before I accept Muslim religion as a religion of peace.
Sir.
You're running away. Okay?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
such a Muslim, if Muslim religion is such a religion of peace, why are they cutting people's heads off?
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
I ain't conforming, folks. I ain't conforming.
Amen.
I'm not giving in. I'm not going to conform. I'm not going to conform. I'll never accept abortion as a woman's choice.
Amen.
It's cold-blooded, premeditated murder.
That's right.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we still meet in these last days of apostasy. I mean, I'm talking about these last days right before Jesus comes back. I believe Jesus is coming back, don't you? I want to tell you, in these last days right before the Lord, I mean, God is... I wish God would raise up and God would pick up a little remnant of them old-fashioned preaching, praying, singing, shouting people. I mean, listen, that'll just stand and be faithful in these last days. Somebody's got to stand. Somebody's got to stand. Somebody's got to be... Hey, somebody's got to go back to Florida and stand. Somebody's got to go back to Ohio and stand. Somebody's got to go back to Kentucky to stand. Somebody's got to go back to North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee. Somebody has got to go back and stand for the old-fashioned way. It might as well be you and me. God help us. We need a remnant.
Yeah.
Yes, I ain't been watching the time. Brother Carl, how long have I been preaching?
Oh, about 5 minutes.
Oh, that's all right. I know better than that. 15. I believe you done got the gist what I got to say.
Yeah.
I'll give you four things again real quick and I'm going to stop. Four things I believe about the remnant. Number one, the remnant in persecution.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Come on.
That's right.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're going to live for God and not suffer through some persecution, you're in the for the shock of your life.
Right.
Ain't no such thing as living for God without being persecuted.
Amen. Right.
The Bible said it's given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him but to suffer for His sake.
Right.
And the Bible said we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, we're not going through the great tribulation, thank God, but I want to tell you, brother, we will if we take our stand for God. Hey, I like the atmosphere. I love the shouting. I love the friendship. I love the fellowship. I want to tell you, it's out there in the world. You take a stand for God, there is going to be some persecution. It didn't take me long after I got saved to figure it out. Not everybody's happy that I'm living for Jesus.
You're right.
I thought, praise God, it's all right, son. It'll be okay. That chair won't hurt nothing. All you guys can put your guns up. It's okay. I forgot where I was at now. It scared me. Yeah. There will be some persecution. It didn't take me long after I got saved to figure it out. Somebody was not happy about me getting saved. And the world does not appreciate you living for God and taking a stand for the Lord. He doesn't appreciate that. There will be some persecution. Kids, you listen, there will be some persecution. You take a stand for the Lord, you do what's right, they're going to be some going to laugh at you. They're going to mock at you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to, the servants is no better than their master.
Amen.
I mean, if they spit on our Savior, they'll spit on us. Hey, if they persecuted our Savior, they'll persecute
yes,
us.
They will. Yes,
if they
sir.
Killed our Savior, they may very well kill you and me.
Amen.
There'll be some persecution. The remnant and some persecution. Then number two, you got the remnant and that pilgrimage journey. Now I like this one. It's the positive part. Some of you just lit up like a light bulb. That pilgrimage journey. That those Israelites, when they was over there in Babylonian captivity, I mean, if you'd have walked up to them and you said, where you live at? And they'd say, we're strangers and pilgrims. They'd say, this place is not our home. We're just strangers and we're just pilgrims. Our citizenship's not here, but our citizenship's in another country. I mean, every night, like old Daniel, they'd get down
and they'd throw up that window and they'd look toward the east and they'd say, what are you doing? I'm looking for a city.
Yeah.
Right. Praise God. I want to tell you, I'm glad this world's not my home, brother. I'm glad I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. Thank God I'm a citizen from another country. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, brother. I'm looking for a city 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles straight up, with walls of jasper and gates of pearl and streets of gold. Thank God I'm looking for a place. I'm looking for a city, brother, where there'll be no sorrow, no burden, no heartache, no sickness, no cancer. Thank God, no old age. And we're just going to live forever and forever in God's glorious presence. Going to have a brand new glorified body that will never get sick, never get hoarse. Thank God, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about cancer, I can't stand it. There'll never be no more cancer. Won't have to worry about hospitals. I start to say something else, but I'll stay away from that. Won't have to worry about hospitals or insurance or anything else. Thank God we're going. Hey, folks, calm down. Calm down. No shouting. We're headed for a city. Thank God where we're going to live forever and forever and forever. This world's not my home. I fit into this world like a square peg into a round hole. I just don't fit. I'm okay? This world ain't my home and it ain't your home either. I can tell you one of the biggest problems in our churches, and I'm talking about the only kind I know is fundamental independent Bible believing Baptist. We just let our roots get too deep in this stinking world. This world's not our home. So I'm going to tell you, we're a bunch of pilgrims. Hey, I like the song, "We're Not Home Yet, Children." So keep your eyes upon the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, then we're going to sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus and our loved ones gone before us. There is a better day a coming. Thank God we're not home yet. You tell a preacher, it just ain't worth it. I mean, all the battles, all the problems, and all the troubles and the trials. Oh yes, it is worth it. I mean, just one glimpse inside that gate of that city. Just one glimpse of the walls of jasper and the streets of gold. Just one glimpse of that blessed Redeemer, the one that loved us and died for us. He'll be worth it. I said it'll be worth it. I said it'll be worth it when we get to the other side. It is worth it. The price is worth it. The cost is worth it. Amen? I like that song. We sort of get a little bit happy over it. What a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that'll be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one that died for me. What a day, glorious day that'll be. I'm glad, thank God, one day it ain't going to be a song, and it's not going to be a sermon, it's not going to be a Sunday school lesson, it's going to be a reality for the people of God. Lord have mercy, we ought to leave here fat. I mean, hang your harp on a willow tree, my foot, take your harp home with you and beat the devil to death with you. We're too close to give up now. I mean, that pilgrimage journey, the persecution of that remnant. But then you got that old prophet, old Joel. Old Joel, he was a man that was prophesying in a hard time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. But I don't tell you, it didn't make no difference how hard it was. God's always had a man.
That's Amen. Right.
Yeah. I don't tell you something. I believe God always will have a man.
Amen.
Amen. I'm gonna make a comment. Some of you won't agree with it, but that's all right. You've not agreed with about a third of what I've said anyway, so I can tell by looking at you. You say, what does that mean? Nothing. It don't mean nothing.
But I want to tell you something. There is going to come a time. I know not where I was going, but that prophet. We idolize men like D.L. Moody, preacher.
Come on.
Spurgeon,
yeah.
Finney, we idolize them. We set them up on a pedestal like they were some great men. Preacher, I want to tell you something. They were just men just like you and
you
me.
Got it. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. I believe during the judgment seat of Christ, I believe God's going to say, sit down over there, D.L. Moody.
Yeah.
Hey, Spurgeon, just sit right down there.
Yeah.
Hey, Finney, we don't want to hear from you right now. Just sit right there. Brother Jeff, come up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, I want to tell you, a lot of them big preachers that got their glory here, they ain't going to get it on the other side. And by them little old preachers, I'm in the pastor of them churches, and father, hey, D.L. Moody probably wouldn't last 2 weeks in the average Baptist church today.
Amen.
Different time.
You got it right, preacher.
It ain't the door. It ain't the Philadelphia church age. It ain't the door, the open door. It's a Laodicean church age.
Yeah.
Different day and a different time.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. You listen to me. I don't believe there's ever been a time when God's not had a man.
Right.
And I want to tell you, God will always have a man.
Yes.
And I want to tell you something, preachers. I want to tell you something. I've made up my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, man of God, I've made up my mind. Somebody's got to be standing when Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be standing for the old-fashioned way and that old-fashioned preaching.
Right.
Hey, kids, somebody's got to be standing. I mean, for that old-fashioned landmark. Why not it be some of the men of God right here in this building?
Yes, sir.
There'll be some persecution. But I'm glad we're pilgrims on our way home. God's always had a prophet. Now, I know that. I mean, now don't brethren, jump on me, because I don't believe there's a prophet's like is like apostles. They kind of blended off the scene. What we call preachers and evangelists and bishops and pastors, that's what they call prophets. But I want to tell you the thing about it is God always had a man. And God always will have a man. He's never been. You don't want to fall in the Elijah syndrome. Oh, I'm the only one in the whole world. Our church is the only church doing anything for God. I'm the last preacher that really. But no, God's got a bunch of them still faithful to Him. But then you got the prophecy. Joel chapter number 2, and I'm not going to get into all that, all the prophecy and everything, but in Joel chapter number 2, that remnant that you read about, and don't jump on me now. That remnant that you read about there in Joel chapter number 2, that's a remnant that God's going to save during the Great Tribulation period. You see, I didn't believe people get saved during the Tribulation period. Read Revelation chapter 7. The great multitude came out of Great Tribulation. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to set you down straight. I'm 60 years old. You ain't going to set me down, straighten me out.
You're right.
To set my ways.
Amen.
You say, well, what I'm going to do, preacher, I'm going to wait until after the rapture, and then I'll get saved during the tribulation period. That won't work out. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible said, because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved, God will send you strong delusion that you'll believe a lie and be damned.
Amen.
I believe, like I say, I won't fuss with it, but I believe the person and all those movies, you know, about, you know, Left Behind, all that kind of stuff. Listen to me. I believe a person had an opportunity and a chance. The Spirit of God drew them and convicted them and drawed them, and they rejected Jesus Christ. God will send them a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie and be damned.
Amen.
But God, I mean, right now, if the Lord was to come back right now, the rapture of the church took place right now. I mean, everybody's saved in this building. We're going to be caught up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, we're gone.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
And while we're going through the judgment seat of Christ, the world's going to be going through the great tribulation period.
Yeah.
God's going to raise up two old men by the name of Moses and Elijah, and I ain't going to get into you with that either. And God's going to raise up two old men by the name of Moses and Elijah, and under their ministry is going to call 144,000
Jewish male virgin that's going to evangelize the world with the gospel of the kingdom. You say, what's that? The kings are coming. The kings are coming. The kings are coming. God's always had a remnant of people. Old Testament. You ever read over in Ezekiel chapter 5? It's where you get the old saying of shaving a haircut. You ever heard that old saying? Shaving a haircut? You ever heard the old saying, why, he's just splitting hairs? You ever heard that? And over in Ezekiel chapter 5, God told Ezekiel, He said, I want you to get a razor and a knife. And he said, I want you to shave and get a haircut.
Yeah.
And he said, I want you to divide the hair up in four different parts. He said, I want you to take a third part. And he said, I want you to burn it in the fire.
Yeah.
He said, you take a third part of it. And he said, I want you to hack it to pieces with a knife.
Right.
And he said, I want you to take the other third. And he said, I want you to just scatter it out to the wind. And Ezekiel said, well, what about the fourth? And I'm paraphrasing. The Lord said, just take a few of them little hairs and just put it in the hem of your skirt, hem of your garment.
Yeah.
You know what them little hairs were? That was that little remnant that was going to go back after the Babylonian captivity.
Amen.
You see, God's always had a little remnant.
That's right.
And I want to tell you something, friend. I want to tell you something. God always has had a remnant.
Yeah.
And God always will have a remnant.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm a part. I'm glad I'm a part of that little race. Preacher, Jesus could come back anytime. All the signs are pointing toward home. Any day, any moment, any second, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus could come back. We're leaving this old world in a twinkling of an eye. And I want to tell you, I started out 39 years ago, and I've been saved for 39 years, preaching for 35, pastor in the same church, my first church, for 33 years.
Yeah.
And I started out right, I want to finish right.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus comes back tomorrow and steps out on the cloud, I want to be a part of that remnant that's still believing and preaching and praying. Hey, folks, somebody's got to be a living for God. Somebody's got to be a standing. Somebody's got to be a preaching. Somebody's got to drive them buses. Somebody's got to run that sound room. Somebody's got to do it. It might as well be you and me. Can I ask you a question? Are you part of that remnant?
Amen.
Are you part of that remnant? When Jesus comes back, will He find you faithful?
Yeah.
Are you part of that remnant?
Amen.
Father, pray you take a few thoughts. God, use it, Lord, I pray, to challenge your people. Lord, the cream of the crop probably here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit and power. God, help us, I pray. Lord, in this day of change, Lord, this day of apostasy grown cold, oh, Lord, drifting further and further away, God, give us grace. Raise up a remnant, Father, that'll be faithful until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You need that.
Yeah. Amen.
You need that.
Yes.
In a world that's pressing